Thank you, Karina. Well, we've had a great youth conference so far. If you've not been here the first couple nights, you missed it. But we are honored to have Brother Gray. You know, I'm sure he does not miss very many Wednesdays from his church. And so we're honored that the few that maybe he would take, he would choose our church to be here. And so he has a plane to catch in a while, so we want to get him up here. Let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a seat if you don't mind. Have a seat. And I am excited once again about being here tonight. And I know for the most part, it is the, I have people waving at me out there. They have a Starbucks in their hand. They have, there you, it's a Bible. Don't get spiritual, guys. And but I know for the most part, it's the church family tonight. And I just want to take a couple of moments here at the very beginning and let you know that this church is in our prayers. And we know that with your pastor being ill right now, a lot of people pass through here and let you know that they're praying for you. But please know this, he is weekly in my prayers, and I take time every week to ask the Lord to heal him and to be with the family. You always tell the spirituality and the strength of a family when they go through adversity. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I have been coming here a lot of years, and I can tell you that this church during this conference has not missed one beat. Your pastor truly has done an excellent job in preparing you on how to keep going in his absence, and we just pray it's not too much longer. Amen. But I love the Esposito family. I love them very, very much. A very, very dear family to my heart. I, for whatever reason, zoned out on Bruce dating one of them, and I don't know who you paid to get that done, but brother, you did good. Amen. And you do know, never mind, I'll stop right there. So, it's just, I got to go see your pastor today, and I prayed for him. I got to see his toes today. I am one privileged guy. I got to see his toes today. And when I said that, Miss Esposito grabbed the sheet, and I think she was a little bit embarrassed. She's going to cover him up. I said, that's okay. I thought about taking my shoes off and sticking my toes up there next to his. He has clean toenails. And I love your pastor. My very first year of being here, this is his chair, and I was sitting over there, and I walked over to him, and I said, I don't mind telling you, you scare me. Oh, that'll be okay. You scare me. And he just got that grin. He said, Brother Gray, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And I said, I'm afraid if I say something wrong. He said, if you do, you won't be back. Man, you'll be just fine. And so every year when I get done, he would say, Brother Gray, would you come back next year? And I was like, oh, yes, I didn't say anything wrong. And but you do have a great church. I know that you're in the midst of a lot of different things going on. You have the building over there. And let me encourage you, just stay at it. Stay working hard. God's in complete control, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Daniel chapter 1, if you don't mind, go there. Daniel chapter 1. It is hard to believe that we have come to the end. Seems like we just got started. How many are bowlers? You are bowlers. You went bowling today. How many went bowling today? Did anybody slip on the lane? Anybody slip on the lane? There you go. There you go. Nothing like it. And how many play the Wii? How many play the Wii? Come on, it's okay. It's okay. This is not a no media month for us. How many play the Wii? And how many know that when you bowl in the Wii, you can throw the ball to people behind you, right? That's what I like to do. I like to throw the ball to people behind you. And my brother-in-law, for years, when we were teenagers, before I was married, I wasn't married when I was a teenager, but before we were teenagers, he had a cracked tooth right across there, and he got it bowling. And he dropped the bowling ball on the concrete floor and then bent over to pick it up. And it, when it hit, it bounced right back up and knocked his tooth. Amen. So how many smile at me? Do you still have your teeth? Smile. Okay, then you had a good day bowling. Amen. And thank you for everything. The room, the bottle of wine that was in the room, I appreciate that. And it was just wonderful. And our dear brother over here in the front row, he grew hair. He said, let me give you a Texas clothes dryer, and it's a little bitty clothespin right there. There you go. Really what I think it is to pick nose hairs out of your nose. So I should not have said that. And so anyways, Daniel chapter 1. And I do. As soon as I'm done here and we give the invitation, I apologize, but I'm going to have to head out and head back, and I'll be flying tonight. And so I'll be honest with you. Some people hate flying at night. I love flying at night. There's nobody else on the plane. And when they are on the plane, you get to see how they really act at 2 o'clock in the morning, because it's like I wasn't coming on the plane over here, and I was tired. I mean, I was tired. And so I laid my head back, and I've had this problem in the past 2 years. To where I go instantly asleep and I start snoring very, very badly. And so when you catch yourself, when you dream that you're snoring, that means you're actually snoring. That's how it goes. Wait till you get older. Come on now. Wait till you get older. How many of you snore right now? How many snore right now? Brother, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And how many of you teenagers snore? How many of y'all snore? Who? You snore? Okay. How many drool? How many drool while you sleep? How many drool? And you would admit it? And there you go. How many talk in your sleep? How many talk in your sleep? Really? Oh, yeah. That's when you have fun right there. How many sleepwalk? How many just get out of the bed and start walking? All right. How many wet the bed? No, I'm sorry. Wrong question. And never mind. Don't point to the person next to you. And I should not have asked that question. This is not going well. Amen. Would you admit? Never mind. Daniel chapter 1 in verse number 3. Let's all stand if you don't mind. Daniel chapter 1 in verse number 3. Daniel chapter 1 in verse number 3. And we'll read verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. And so if you'll take a look at that tonight. And once again, thank you for allowing me to come and be here and be a part of this. Tonight, I'm going to preach to you on a plea to our young people. A plea to our young people. Or a sermon to those who mean business for the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, many of you made a big decision to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you weren't able to be here last night, I would get Brother Goddard's sermon and get the sermons from last night. And tonight, I want to help you how to get that done, how to keep that going. And there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, and the king spake unto Aphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he, my eyes, I got back up, I forgot my glasses again, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom, I want to pay close attention to verse 4, was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's presence, of whom they might teach the learning, the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. I want you to go back, if you will, in verse number 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah. You have here four names listed, and they were represented. They represented a huge group of people that the king had said, I want them for my very own. So listen to the sermon tonight, and I promise you we won't be long. I have a truth I want to give you, and I want you to pay close attention to everything that I have to tell you. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this great church, many memories here. And Lord, as they progress and as they keep the word of God alive and they keep winning souls, as the soloist sang tonight, and Lord, we keep taking that word, we can make a difference. We can do something big. And Lord, I ask that you'll just watch over all the families. I know some of the dads and some of the moms have been working all day long, and they have worked hard to get in here to church tonight. And God, I pray that you bless the hearing of your word, bless the preaching now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. When King Nebuchadnezzar captured the city of Jerusalem, he took captives. He wanted a group of people. He desired a group of people. And the group of people that he came in and he took out were people that were certain of the children. He didn't take everybody. He took only certain of the children. Of these children, he wanted to make sure they were of the king's seed, so they were royal children, and they were princesses. He wanted to take with him a group of people that, and this is going to sound really terrible, and please don't take it the way I'm getting ready to say it, because as I say it, I want nobody to take offense. He did not want the lower class of people. He did not want the hobos. He did not want those who really were dirty, those who didn't know how to behave, those who were kind of second class, okay? The only way I know to illustrate this is, you know how it is when you're picking up ball teams, and invariably there are those two guys that don't know how to play this game. And they're standing there in a line. How many of you are those guys? and they're standing there in a line, and the two captains are the guys who can make the shot. They now are the captains, and now they have to line up. And so then they start picking, and invariably it always gets down to those last couple of guys or those last couple of girls who cannot chew gum and walk at the same time. They don't know. They have no athletic ability. They just simply need to go take apart a computer and stay off the ball court and give us room to play. It's better to play with three athletes than three athletes and two computer geeks. And that's all there is to it. Three athletes can do a much better job on the court. The other two just get in the way. But all of us have been there to where, and if you've ever been that person, you get very self-conscious. I was that person in junior high. My 10th birthday, I wore a size 10 shoe. My 11th birthday, I wore a size 11 shoe. My 12th birthday, I wore a size 12 shoe. My 13th birthday, I wore a size 13 shoe. When I, every year, starting at 10, my foot grew one size every year. There was only one problem. My body height did not grow one size every year. I was 5'9". 5'8", 5'9" with a size 13 shoe. And when I would run down the court, my feet were so big, I would trip over my feet, and I was uncoordinated. And nobody wanted to pick me. So I know what it's like to stand there, and you're standing in this line with all the athletes, and then they start picking. And then you know it's bad when you're standing there, and the guys who were just picked start whispering in the captain's ear, "Hey, don't choose him. Hey, choose that guy over there." They're helping with the next pick, and they're whittling it down. And you're the only guy standing there, and then you know it's bad. Up until this point, the two captains have not been Christian at all. They've been like scavengers, but no, something happens when that last pick is there. All of a sudden, the two captains and the two teams, they turn Christian, and then they're like, "Oh, no, no, you can have him." And then it's like, "No, no, no, my dear brother, you can have him on your team." "No, no, I think it's God speaking to my heart that I need to be a Christian about this. You can have the idiot." "No, no, no, I don't want the you." And then what's really bad is when they do pick you, they try to make you feel good, and then they say this, we'll try to get you in the game, just be patient." And so, like an idiot, you believe them, so you're standing on the sideline and you hope that they're going to put you in, but then they always say, "Well, you know, the game's really close, and don't you want to win one for the team, and don't you want to be part of a winning team, and the only way we can make you part of a winning team is for you never to get on the court." And it was like, fine, when I get good at this game, I'm going to become the captain, and then your children, because I'll still be in school, your children I'm not picking. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar was that way. It was such a slap in the face of everybody else. And he went through and he said this, "I don't want any low-life teenagers to go with me to Jerusalem. I want people that are going to make me look good." So there are four of them that represented this group. And it was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four young men represented a whole group of young people that had the characteristics that the king wanted to stand next to them. In fact, if you'll look at verse number 4, and I want you to look at it, here's what he said. He said, "I want people with no blemish." No blemish. Translate that right there, zits. I want nobody with no blemish. Seriously, he said, I want the smooth skin. I do not want anybody with too big of a nose. I don't want anybody with too big of an ear. I don't want anybody with too big of a lips or the too big of a chin. I don't want an Adam's apple. I don't want no freak coming to Jerusalem with me. I want people that look good. Let me tell you something. That chin right there would disqualify me from going to Jerusalem with everybody else. And the king was serious. He said, I don't want anybody that has a blemish. I don't want, you know, when I was growing up, and acne is a part of teenage world, okay? You just might as well get used to it. It is what it is. But for me, let me tell you something. When I got acne, I only got it three places. Are you ready? I either got it right there between my eyes, I got it right there on the end of the nose, or I got it right there on the end of the chin. Do you think it could be on the back of my leg where nobody could see it? No. When God got Bob Gray II, he said, don't fool with me, or I'm going to put one right there on the end of your nose. And brother, you try everything. You try everything. I've got to confess. Are you ready? I got my very first time to preach in Los Angeles, California, years ago. I was preaching with a preacher, and wouldn't you know it? Good night, wouldn't you know it? I woke up that morning Monday to fly to Los Angeles, and it was one of my friends, and I was like, we are going to make a good impression. I'm going to preach to teenagers, and we're going to have a great time. And so I woke up, looked in the mirror, and there she was, right on the end of my nose. I am 27 years of age. I've not been a teenager for 10 years. No, but it's right there on the end of my nose. I looked in the mirror and I looked at my wife and I said, are you serious? Come on now. It's going to stick way out there by the time I get to preaching tonight. We landed downtown Los Angeles where the riots took place when they beat up Rodney King. That's where they put us, downtown Los Angeles. And so I'm sitting there saying, I got to do something. And that's all there is to it. I can't even believe I'm telling you this story. I got to do something. So I went walking. As soon as we landed, got to the hotel room. You know, the whole time the driver picked us up, I was like this, you know, and it was like, good to be here today. And Brother Greg, we're looking forward to hearing you preach. So am I. And, the whole time I was doing this, and I thought, I got to do something. So I worked on that thing and worked on that thing and worked on that thing. And the more I worked on it, the more it grew. And the more I worked on it, the more it grew. I tried to put ice on that thing. I tried to heat it up, cool it down, heat it up, cool it down. Then I thought, if I can just take out the redness of the situation, then it's going to help me. So I called my wife and I said, what do I do? She said, Bob, the only thing I know to tell you to do is you're going to have to find some makeup. You're going to have to somewhere find some makeup to put on it. I said, sweetheart, I don't even know what does that mean? She said, Bob, you need base, okay? You got it? You need base, and you need this kind of base in this color, which will match your skin tone, and you probably can get away with it if you apply it right. And I said, where am I going to find makeup? And she said, Bob, you're going to have to go find a store that sells makeup. So I remember leaving that hotel room, walking out, and I can remember standing on that busy street right there, looking up and down, going, where do you go find makeup at in this town? So I started walking, and I came across a beauty supply store. And so I stepped in that beauty supply store, and this lady behind the counter, this Chinese lady, she looked at me and said, awesome, da, da, da. And I was like, praise God, she can't speak English. And so I went up and down the aisle. I found the eyeshadow. I found the thing where you draw your eyebrows on. I found the thing where, you know, you got the brush and you put it on. I came across the base. Well, I thought, okay, this is it. Now how do I explain that a guy is buying makeup? And then I realized it was California. It happens all the time. So I said, can I have some base, please? So I get this tube of base, and I go back and I lay it on the counter. Well, this lady that I thought only spoke Chinese, she was a liar. And so she looked at me and she said, oh, buying makeup. And I was like, yes, ma'am. She said, really? I've never seen a man buy makeup. She's looking down this time. Then she looked up and saw what was on the end of my nose. And she goes, this is the wrong color. You're going to need a different kind of color. He got me their color. I went back, and I put that thing on the end of my nose, and I was like, I'm going to survive the evening. And I'd look in the mirror like that, look in the mirror like that, and I'm thinking, I made it. I have made it. I have survived. Only one problem. The air conditioning went out in the building that night, and when I was preaching, guess what, ladies? It was not Maybelline makeup or whatever you want to call that. And when I started sweating, let me tell you, and I rubbed it in the crevices on the side of my nose, and I got everything just right, you know, and I made sure I had no lines sticking anywhere, and so just to make sure, I wanted to blend in, so I went past the nose, I went down under the eyes, and I went down underneath, you know, and then when I started sweating, and I was preaching away, I forgot about that. And all of a sudden, I can notice on my Bible, on my notes, this tan spot started to appear. And then I'm thinking, good night. Something's wrong with this place because I got tan spot. I was looking for a tan bird up ahead. And I was like, good night. What's going on? And I started dripping makeup. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't have made it to the children going to Jerusalem because I had blemishes. In fact, I'm so ashamed to even tell you I have blemishes. And don't wear makeup, guys. It'll turn you into one of those. But that's what they were saying. So we don't want anybody with blemishes. Then we wanted somebody well-favored. That meant pleasant to look upon. Look at it. We wanted somebody skilled in all wisdom, mature. We wanted somebody cunning in knowledge. They had the ability to discern, the ability to figure it out. Then the king said, I want somebody who understands science. I want somebody who understands the inner working of things. Then he said, I want somebody who has the ability to stand in the king's palace. They know proper etiquette. Listen to what the king said. When the king took the land, he said basically this, I don't want the dumb people. I don't want the ugly people. I don't want the people who don't know manners. I don't want the people who don't know etiquette. I want good, high-class people to come stand in my palace so that I can teach them the language and lifestyle of the Chaldeans. When we reach out to people, listen very closely, we reach out to people and we try to get people to come to church. And I'm going to say this again as easy as I can. And here's the sermon. It's no feather in the devil's cap to get the daughter or son of a crackhead to do crack. It's not a feather in the cap of the devil to get the son and daughter of a drunkard to drink. It's not a feather in the cap of the devil to get the son or daughter of an immoral parent to be immoral. It's not a feather. It's not an accomplishment to the devil in this world to get the child of a high school dropout to drop out of school, or to get the child of a criminal to commit a crime, or to get the child child of a ghetto parent to stay in the ghetto, because it's no big feat. However, it is a feather in the cap of the devil, and it is a badge of honor if he can get good kids that are great kids that have no blemish and you have what the world's looking for. If he can get you and drag you to the gutter, then guess what? He has done something to get a good kid that comes out of a good home and get them to violate everything that they've been raised at. Let me tell you something. That is a feat. To get a church kid to go into the world and learn the world's lifestyle, that is what the devil's after. And there's a reason why you're great kids, because you have great parents. There's a reason why you're great teenagers, because you have a great church. There's a reason why there's no blemish spiritually, because you have a church that holds the standard high. And tonight I'm telling you this, and I'm pleading with you, that it's not a badge of honor. Think about this. They took this group of teenagers out of their land and took them to a strange land. And in this strange land, they lived for the Lord. I mean, a land with no parents to guide them. I want you to think about this. If right now all the parents were gone from your world and there were no mom and dad, no parents in your world, would you still serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you still come to church? Is there a teenage guy that could stand up and do what Brother Ross does and what Brother Myers does? If all of a sudden all the people were gone, would somebody be able to get up and lead the singing? Could you teenage guys get up here and preach the word to the teenagers and keep this church going if God decided to take all the parents out? And if God decided to take all the leaders out? Let me tell you something. These four young men had it so together that they had to live in a strange land without mom and dad, without the pastor, without the youth pastor, without the Sunday school teachers, and they made it. You want to know why? Because they had no blemish in them. Because they were mature, because they could work, and because they had character. And you give us some teenagers that understand that your job in this world is to live right and to live holy and to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, even if your parents are not around. That's what this church needs. This church doesn't need children we have to babysit. This church needs children that they know the rules, they know what's expected of them, and they rise to that occasion and they purpose in their heart. Look at verse number 8, if you will. What made them go on with no parents? What made these teenagers stand for what's right with no pastor? What made them do what's right although they had no church and they had no godly adults? It's found in verse number 8. Daniel's the spokesman for everyone there. And can't you see these group of teenagers? No blemish. These group of teenagers, not the low life. They were the good kids. They were the smart kids. They were the intelligent kids. And Daniel steps up, and on behalf of these kids, he says this. Can I be a spokesman as a teenager? We have purposed in our hearts. What we believe goes much deeper than what our parents taught us. What we believe goes much deeper than what our preacher taught. What we believe goes much deeper than any service we have ever been to. We not only heard the preaching, but we believe the God of the preaching. We not only heard the standards, but we made the standards part of our life. We not only heard them say, don't touch the person of the opposite gender, but we believed it in here to where we don't touch the person of the opposite gender. And no matter what land you put us in, we still are going to live for the Lord, and we still are going to do what's right, and we still, mom here today, I'm going to do what's right. Mom gone tomorrow, I'm going to do what's right. Pastor in the pulpit today, I'm going to do what's right. Pastor not in the pulpit today, I'm going to do what's right. Doesn't matter. And we have lost a society of teenagers that have the ability to police themselves and do God's work regardless of who's around. If you're going to make it after last night's commitment, then you have to do this one thing. You have to purpose in your heart. Because there is no way that you are going to be able to live in this wicked world without there's something deeper than just the address where you live and something deeper than just the church membership where you're attending, teenager. There has to be something down in here that says this: I don't care where you put me. I am going to live for the Lord. You know, it gets sad. It gets sad to me that teenagers have to quit jobs. They get a job in this world. We got teenagers back home. Got one teenager on their fifth job. And I keep asking them, I said, man, why do you keep changing jobs? Well, you know, every time I get to that job, that pressure, and then I start giving into the pressure around me, and mama says, you got to quit this job and get another job. I said, I got one, a better one for you. The next job you get, why don't you just call everybody together and say, can I have everybody's attention real quick? Y'all gather around. Everybody gather around the fryer, gather around the burger place, and y'all just gather around. And can I tell you something? I am a teenager, and I am saved. And I go to the Baptist church down the road. And I believe in God. And I read my Bible. And I don't touch people of the opposite gender. And I work hard, and I don't steal, and I don't listen to rock music, and I don't go to movies, and I don't cuss, and I don't do any of those kind of things, so don't ask me to, because I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. If you understand the environment is not supposed to make you, you're supposed to make the environment. Stop letting the world change you. You change the world. What she's saying just a moment ago is the gospel. If you don't make up your mind to make a difference in this world, you are ineffective. Where do you make a difference in this world? When you make a difference on the inside right here. You made a public commitment last night. Put it right through there. I'm for the Lord. Now make a purpose in here that you're going to do it. I'm afraid that our teenagers rely on their looks. Trust more in their looks to get them by in this world. Look at me, young ladies. It's going to take more than makeup and more than that grin and more than that sweet disposition for you to make it in this world. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a down deep desire that rests on the inside of your heart that no matter where you're at and who you're around, you're not going to change and you're not going to give in. You've got to have it in here. Did you hear that? You've got to have it in here. Okay, you can play basketball, but do you have it in here? Okay, you look good, but do you have it in here? Okay, you can play an instrument, but do you have it in here? Okay, so you can line up and you can sing, but do you have it in here? If they faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Get the strength on the inside. They took these teenagers and they took these teenagers away from their home and away from their mamas and away from their daddies. And the Chaldean plan was this: if we feed them with our music and we teach them our language and we teach them our way of living, then they will look just like us. And Daniel stood up and said, hey, I think you got us all wrong. You're looking at a group of teenagers that we don't do that. Years ago, my wife and I took some kids to a camp. We thought we'd try out a new camp. And some time ago, we went and tried out a new camp. So it was Miss Kelly and I, and we had about 70 teenagers. And so we went to camp, loaded up buses, and you know how it goes with luggage. And we went about 5 hours away from home, went to this camp. So we're getting everybody settled in, and I have the same routine I go through every time we go to camp. And I have the same rules we go through, and I threaten them with an inch of their life. You know how it goes. And if you don't, that whole list. Well, then all of a sudden, the camp director asked to see me. And the camp director says, hey, can we see you and Miss Kelly? And I said, absolutely. So we went down there and we were there. And the camp director said, now, Brother Gray, Miss Gray, I know that you think that you're used to working with teenagers. And I know you think that these teenagers will obey you. But at this camp, you are no longer their authority. I was like, excuse me? You and Miss Kelly can no longer tell them what to do. We are the only people in this camp that can tell them what to do. I just started laughing. All right, let me get this straight. You're going to take 70 of my teenagers, and you don't want Miss Kelly and I to tell them what to do at all. It's like, nope, don't tell them what to do. We're wise enough. We know teenagers. This is our third year of camp, and we know how to do this, and we will tell your teenagers what to do. And I said, sir, have you lost your mind? It took me years to buffalo these kids to think that they think I will actually kill them. And that shovel I bring with me that I always lean up against the front of the bus, they actually think I'll take that shovel and bury their body wherever we're at. When they know, they think I'll kill them and bury their body and put a tombstone right there. I take the golden shovel and set it on the bus. And it's the same thing every time for years. See this shovel right here? You mess up, I will bury your body wherever you mess up at. And I'll tell your parents where your body's buried. They can come get your remains, and I would set it up again. I said, sir, do you know how long it took me to buffalo them? And they don't even believe me. They laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Golden shovel, bury our body. Oh, that's pretty good. And you think you're going to tell them what to do for a week? And that's really how you want it, because I'm game if that's how you want it. That's how we want it. My wife looked at me and said, what are we going to do? I said, we are going to do exactly what they just said. And then we are going to have the time of our life. They made me so angry, I said, fine. They are all yours. I went back and gathered all the teenagers around. And I said, y'all gather around. I said, I was just informed that I am no longer your authority for the next 5 days. And that y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. Whatever y'all want to do. I mean, look at me, y'all. I don't care what you people do, because they're the authority, and we have been stripped of our stripes. We have been stripped of our commands, and we are no longer Brother Bob, Miss Kelly, youth pastor, youth pastor's wife. They are in complete charge of your life. They were like, excuse me? And I said, yes, we're no longer youth pastor. One seventh grader in the back said, "All right." And about that time, two of the senior guys stepped up and said, "It's not all right either, because we're from Longview Baptist Temple. And we have a certain reputation we're going to uphold. And we are not going to disgrace Brother Bob and Miss Kelly. And if every one of you step out of line, see that golden shovel? I'll bury you right here, and I'm a minor and you're a minor, and I can get away with it, and they can't put me in jail." Let me tell you something. They were the best behaved kids all week. I didn't have to do anything. I laid in my bunk. My wife and I took walks. The only time that we ran into a problem was there was a bluff all the way down. It was like 60 foot down, thickets and briars, and it dumped into a river in Oklahoma. And we're standing there, and I mean, I am now a teenager all over again. The senior comes to me and says, "Hey, Brother Bob, do you want to go on a hike with us?" I said, "I would love to go on a hike with you." "So we're going to take a couple of guys on a hike with us." And yeah, I'm not in charge. I'll go on a hike. I don't have any responsibility. I don't have to be back till supper. Let's go on a hike. So we went on a hike and stood there. This brother got so mad at his brother that he pushed him off the cliff. And he went all the way down. Well, in Oklahoma, Texas area, we have thickets. All he had on was wind pants, a T-shirt, and these little swimming California, you know, funny boy slippers, you know, that you have on. The thickets and the briars stripped him naked. It ripped because the briars are they'll cut you. We're looking at him, and I mean, it so shocked me. I'd never seen anything like it. He's laying at the bottom of the river, and he's like, "Oh, are you okay?" No clothes on at the bottom of this ravine. And the senior guy looked at me and said, "What do we do?" I said, "Hey, I'm not in charge. I don't know. Y'all got a problem." We went down there, and we, bless his heart, we took, you know, I had a shirt on with a T-shirt underneath it, so I gave him my outer shirt, and this other kid had on swimming trunks and you know, extra clothes. So he gave me, we did as good as we can. We brought this kid back up the hill. Well, we're coming back to camp. And all of a sudden, the camp director comes out and he says, "Where have you people been?" Like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm older than this guy. "Where have you people been? We have held supper for 1 hour for you people. You get nothing to eat. Go back to your cabin." So they look at me and say, "Hey, I'm not in charge. I'm going back to my cabin." So we did, went back to the cabin. Well, I had the keys to the bus. And there was a McDonald's in town. And he said, "Brother Bob," I said, "I'm not in charge. But if you look at me and tell me to take these keys and take this bus and take you people into town to McDonald's and go eat and come back, I have to obey you because I'm not in charge." And that senior said, "Get those keys, take this bus, take us into town." Can I tell you, I love that man. And somebody lock him up and put him in the lion's den, please. And listen to me. There was something about these teenagers that Daniel stood up as a teenager and said this: hold it, time out. It doesn't matter if we're with our parents or not with our parents. We have decided in our heart that we will not defile ourselves. It doesn't matter if we're at church or not at church. We have decided the best policeman in this auditorium will be the teenagers who have decided. Don't you wait on this man to get you to do what's right. Don't you wait on this man to get you to do what's right. Don't you wait on pastor to try to instill in you what is right. He has done it over and over and over and over and over and over again. The best thing you'll ever do is to purpose in your heart as a 13-year-old, and purpose in your heart as a 14-year-old, and purpose in your heart as a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old, that it doesn't matter where I go to school, I'm going to live for the Lord. It doesn't matter who I hang around, I'm going to live for the Lord. It doesn't matter what job I work at, they're going to know I am a Christian. That's the reason I wear a dress. I am a Christian. That's the reason I cut my hair. I am a Christian. That's the reason I talk right, walk right. Do not live your life to where your only motivation to do what's right is because of the adults who are around you. You do what's right because of the God that lives on the inside of you. Boy, I beg you, you won't always be around adults, but you'll always have God. Let me give you three things to purpose in your heart, if I could. Three things that these teenagers purposed. And if you want to be a mature teenager, I'm appealing to you right now. Please listen to me. If this church ever needed solid teenagers, it needs solid teenagers right now. It doesn't need to be worried about what you're doing behind closed doors. And it doesn't need to be worried about what's on your iPod. They don't need to be worried about what kind of junk's going on when the lights go down or the sun goes down. They need to have that confidence of knowing this. We've got teenagers that love God and serve the Lord. You know, the biggest hypocrite you'll ever become is when you get up and sing in church as a youth group and then you live opposite outside of this platform than you do about what you're singing about. And I'm coming to you, appealing to you. I am pleading with you, purpose in your heart to do three things. Are you ready? Number one, purpose not to defile yourself. Make up your mind right now, I am not going to defile myself. They tried to say to these young men, we are going to give you the king's meat. We are going to give you the king's drink. We are going to give you what we have so that you can put what we are on the inside of you so that you can become like us. Listen to me. You ought to be looking at this world and you ought to feel sorry for this world. You ought not to want to be like this world. Purpose right now, I'm not going to defile myself. Listen to me, young person, listen to me. Do you know why the king was attracted to these young men? It's because they weren't defiled. They weren't defiled. There is something in the face of a teenager that's got that purpose in here. It's written all over their faces. One reason why I love coming to this church, you want to know why? I love seeing that. It's something you can't put your hand on, but it exists. When I shake your hands and I interact with you and you got that stupid look on your face of just, hi, how are you doing? In Texas, when you do that, we grab our wallets because you want something. No, hi, how you doing? Brother Gray, good to see you. Oh, let me tell you something. The reason they want you in this world because you got it. Now, don't defile yourself or you're going to lose it. Anybody can become plain. Anybody can become ordinary. Anybody can become like the world. Anybody can drop their standards. Anybody can listen to that kind of music. Anybody can talk that way. But it's something about a teenager that can say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do it right now. I'll get on that right away. I'll work hard. I'll cut my breaks short. I'll be respectful. Something about opening the door. Something about pulling the chair out and pushing it back in before they hit the floor. There's something about being that kind of young person to where you're like, what can I do for you today? How can I help you today? And the world out there has tired of punky teenagers who have smart mouths and they roll their eyes all the time and they don't know how to dress and they don't know how to walk and they don't know how to behave and the girls show more skin than what they should and the guys are a bunch of wimps and they're a bunch of spaghetti backs. Oh, but you give us a young man that stands up straight and a young lady that dresses. Today, we were walking outside, and the two ladies sitting on the very front, Betty and Jerry, I don't know if they're out there in the porch, or they said they tried to come. Betty and Jerry sitting out there, we joked with them, and then as we walked away, Betty said this. Betty said, I like your parishioners. You didn't know you were parishioners, did you? And then she said, because your ladies wear dresses. Long dresses. And that lady sitting right out there said, I like that. This world is looking for teenagers that are doing on the outside what is on the inside. And by the way, listen to me, a school uniform cannot make you have standards. It is in here that makes you have standards. Purpose in your heart, I won't let that music defile me. Purpose in your heart, I won't let that conversation defile me. Get you boundaries. Get you boundaries set up and stand right in the middle of them and say, I'm sorry, I don't talk that way. Excuse me, I didn't tell you, did I? I don't listen to that kind of stuff. Please, don't steal around me or I have to tell on you. Hold it. Don't touch me. I'll knock you out. Don't. You need to have a purpose on the inside. A purpose. Because you always won't have people around you to make you do. Teenagers, there's nothing better than to be with your fellow teenager and they start saying something they shouldn't say, then you go, hold, time out now. Time out. I'm going to hold it. We shouldn't be talking that way. Do you know literally how it should go? Can I use you real quick? How old are you? 16. Perfect. Get up here. Get up here. I'm 17. You're 16. And I just want you to start complaining in my ear. Complain in my ear.
I'm really tired and this is...
Hold it. Now hold it. We don't need to be complaining. Man, God's been good to us. You agree with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now let's not complain anymore. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to provoke each other to good works. If you really want to test this friendship, call their hand when they do wrong. And if they're the right kind of friends, guess what they'll say? Oh, I'm sorry. Ask me to listen to some rock music.
Do you want to listen to this rock music?
Well, who's the artist?
That one guy.
What guy? Come on.
George Pineda.
George Pineda. The white guy. And you know what? And then at that point, you don't need to go, oh yeah, here's my flash drive. Download it on there and then get it back to me. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Act as if you were going to be the only people at church Sunday morning and you had to carry on church work. There needs to start being a revival among teenagers to where you purpose in your heart that no matter where you're at, you're going to do what's right. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it costs you. It doesn't matter what you have to put. I'm going to do what's right. Your mom and dad deserve a responsible teenager, not a little spoiled brat. And the only way you become responsible is when you purpose in here, I will not defile myself. I will not listen to that. I will not watch that. I will not defile myself. Go ahead, have a seat. Second thing he purposed was this. Look at it. This is incredible. Look at Daniel chapter 3 in verse number 5. This teenager was a spokesman for the rest of the teenagers, that there was no blemish. And by the way, I'll stop right here and just say this. Please listen to me. Physically, you may be still changing. Physically, you may be still trying to come to grips with some things, but I truly believe everything that was listed about these young people, you've got. I believe spiritually, you're the best thing that there is in Long Beach. I believe spiritually, you're right on track. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, and I'm not preaching this sermon because I'm trying to get you to a level. I'm preaching this because I want you to realize it's what you purpose in here that is going to make the difference. And people have given their lives that believe something in here. Purpose. I'm not going to defile myself with anything from the world. Then the second thing you purpose is this: don't bow down to other gods. Look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse 5. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kind of music, ye fall down, worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know the second thing he purposed? Are you ready? He purposed, first, he wouldn't defile himself. Number two, he purposed he wouldn't bow down to other gods. I'm going to give you gods, teenagers, that you need to not bow down to. Number one, academics. Academics. Now, everyone, please listen to me. Do not fool yourself into think that you need more education and that the world's education is going to make you a better person. Don't you fool yourself. My dad went to Michigan State University in the 60s. He told me of going into the dorm. This is in the 60s. And then realizing he had never drank liquor and that he was there on a football scholarship and they held him down and tried to force his mouth open to pour liquor down his mouth. He said, son, I came in one night from football practice and working out, came in late on my bunk, and they jumped me, they held me down, they held my nose, and they tried to pry my jaw open to pour liquor down me. He said, son, they took the bottle, and it ran down the side of my mouth, and I had my jaw clenched like that, and I was breathing through my teeth, and he said, son, they didn't get to me because I had purposed in here I wouldn't put liquor on the inside. When he realized that the education was not worth the chance of ruining his morals. He got out. You know, there's a reason why God had you born into the home you've been born in. He has put you into a Christian school, and he has put you on that path. He didn't put you on the path that you're on for all of a sudden for you to switch paths. You don't know this other path. You don't know that academic world out there. Be better you learn a skill. Did you hear that? Be better you learn a trade than to try to further your IQ. Now, there'll be a lot of people who disagree with me, but you listen to me. I have seen more failures by Christian school kids because they decided they wanted to further their IQ. You don't need to further your IQ. You need to further your education, but not your IQ. Don't bow down to academics. Don't think that a diploma on a wall and a business degree or getting that education. I understand that people disagree with me, but you listen to me. I'm tired of losing good kids. You better purpose in here. If it's going to make me violate my morals, that education is not God. God's God. I'm going to serve the Lord. Don't you let people come along and say, well, you know, if you had a better education, you could get a better job. Not against better education, not against a better job. I'm not against that at all, but don't put that number one. You put the Lord number one. You know, it's really funny to me. Now you done got me mad. It's really funny to me that people, I believe it's God's will. Then I want to see a log of how many hours you spend on your knees praying about God's will for your life when it comes to education. You show me the verses you have circled, and you show me your quiet time journal to where you know this is God's will. Don't you get out and go do something if you hadn't spent time in prayer, and don't bow down to the almighty scholarship. Let me tell you something about this country. We wouldn't have the student loan problems if every university would make the kid work to pay for every dime that they have to pay to get their education. These universities have become nothing but party schools because the government has dished out loans and dished out Pell Grants and dished out these student loans, and they're in debt for the rest of their life. And truly, according to the old song, they owe their soul to the company store because they have to pay it back. Work for everything you get. Don't you go to school on a scholarship. Well, you know, the reason I'm going to that school is because they got a scholarship. You better go to that school because it's God's will for you to go to that school. You know, we got a college at our place, and I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't accept any one of you because you got a great college here. And for the exception of this meeting, do you know what I am? I'm a scout. I told him the other day, nobody chooses us. I choose everybody. I'm a scout. You can't play in our team at the seminary and at the school and our college if you ain't got a love for the Lord, because I don't play. I'm a scout. Had a girl call the other day. Said, well, you know, my brother went there, so I want to go. No, I don't accept you. Call back when you got a better answer. She said, where am I supposed to go this fall? I said, not my problem. Call back when you got a better answer. Well, I'm going to this college over here because they got a scholarship. That's a sad reason to go to a college. Well, I'm going to that college because they got dorms. That's a sad reason to go to a college. Well, I'm going to that college because my mother went there. That's a terrible reason to go to a college. You go to a college because you've got on your knees and you sought the Lord. Amen. You purpose in here, my friend, that your God's going to be bigger than any degree you could ever get. And when a teenager tells me, I didn't mean to go off on y'all. When a teenager tells me that this is where I'm supposed to go, you better show me worn kneecaps from prayer. You better show me more time in prayer than on the internet. Prayer, academics. Second thing is athletics. Athletics. Guys, I hate to tell you this. You may be good playing against junior hires, but you'll never make it in the NBA. It ain't gonna happen. Oh, yeah, you got a good behind the back and crossover. Let me tell you something. There are people a whole lot better than you. Okay? They're a whole lot taller than you. They are good. Yeah, you wait till they get that gym finished. I'll school everybody. In fact, I'm going to get a shirt that says my game begins when I step on the court. I'm going to hang around. I'm going to carry a bag with me my first day on that court, and I'm going to hand out pencils, and I'm going to hand out pads of paper, and I'm going to say, you sit right there, time to go to school. The master has entered. I'm going to hand out bricks because that's just what you shoot is bricks. I'm good. Let me tell you something. Just because you can beat up on the junior hires one-on-one, oh, yeah, take three junior hires on and beat them all. Don't you trust in that body. Don't you bow down to that body. Don't you think because you can lift 10 pounds that you can go out for the weight team down at Long Beach University. Is there Long Beach University? There is. The Rainbow People. And don't think that you can... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. There's probably good people there. And don't think because, oh, yes, oh, absolutely, athletics. Next, arts. Don't you bow down to arts. But please listen to me. I'm going to help you. If you want to make it in this old wicked world, then you purpose in your heart that arts is not going to be what you're all about. Just because you can play. Where's the piano player? Get up there. Get up there and play. Give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. Come on now. Come on. Give me your best shot. Go ahead. Give it to me. Give it to me. All right, stop. Never looked into music, did you? No, you do it. You're good. But, brother, don't you bow down to those fingers on that piano. Don't you get the big head and get out of your Bible and start trusting in your arts. You people that have artful skills, and I believe playing an instrument, I believe singing, I believe playing, that's an art that God gives you. But don't you become self-centered in your gift that God gave you. Don't you start bowing down and wrapping your whole entire life around becoming a concert pianist. No. Those fingers are meant to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, don't you take a beautiful voice and sing about things that nobody understands in Latin that nobody can understand. The opera is not for you. You use that voice for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you take a fiddle, that's what we call them in Texas. Don't you take that big overgrown fiddle right there and think that just because I can play that, oh, I can go down to the Long Beach Symphony and I can be a star on the stage and they'll play me and then I'll go from third chair and I'll go to second chair and then I'll go to first chair and then I'll become the conductor with those tails and then I'll bend to the crowd and then I'll bend to the orchestra and then I'll tap on there and then I'll lead. No, you listen to me. Don't bow down to the arts. Some of you are artists. Don't bow down to that. You make what you're good at secondary. You make the Lord primary. And don't you purpose in your heart that my gift that God has given me, I will not use for my glory. I will use it for His glory. You see, isn't that cute? And that was his father. And... Can I tell you, they took these teenagers away, but they stay focused. They took these young people into a heathen land, but those teenagers stayed focused. There's a group of teenagers right here that they stayed focused. We're not defiling ourselves. They stayed focused. They said, well, you bow down to something other than, guys, stay standing. That's not our God. And isn't it crazy that Daniel was the only one that made it past point one? Because the others got enamored. They got enamored. Enamored with who they were. Purpose in your heart. I'm headed somewhere. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. Purpose in your heart not to bow down to other gods. Thank you. You can get off the piano. Where'd he go? I didn't tell you to leave that piano yet. Get back up there. There you go, thinking you're hot stuff. Get back up there. Sit down. In fact, turn around backwards. Okay, good. Whatever that was, you go sit down, all right? Number three. Purpose not to change, listen to this, your religious rituals. Purpose right now, teenager, don't change your religious rituals. I want you to notice in Daniel chapter 6 right there, when it got down to it, some jealous people made a law against prayer. They made a law that they could not ask anything other than to the king. In fact, look at verse number 7, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the to the den of lions. You know, the third thing I'm going to ask you to purpose in your heart, number one, don't defile yourself with the world. You need to right now start knowing, what do you believe? What do you believe? What are you going to do about it? Number two, you need to start putting the Lord first in everything that you do. Put the Lord first. Then number three, don't ever change your religious rituals. No, don't change what you're used to. I want you to write several things down. Number one, Sunday school still should be part of your life, even if your mom and dad don't go. Sunday school. You know, it's amazing to me. We can whine to our parents to get them to let us do anything we want, except when it comes to church things. Always amazing. Keep your religious rituals the same. Sunday morning church is still important. Write it down. Sunday morning church. Make up your mind. I don't work on Sunday morning. I go to church. See, that way it doesn't matter where you live, and it doesn't matter who you may. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. I don't miss Sunday school. I don't miss Sunday morning. Next, are you ready? You know what's coming? Sunday night. Don't miss Sunday night. We are getting into a church age to where people only go Sunday morning and they stop Sunday night. You make up your mind. Here's one thing. I'm going Sunday night. Can I ask you a question? If your parents did not come on Sunday and they left the decision up to you, teenager, would you show up? Would you show up? Would you, if they said, I'm not taking you, would you walk? Would you show up? Had a bus kid 10 miles away. The bus forgot him a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden I walked outside my office door in between Sunday school and church, and there's a bike tied up to my parking spot. I looked at it, what is that bike doing on my parking spot? Get that bike out of here. Whose bike is that? Man, I was hot. Whose bike is that? And they said, well, I don't know. Let's find out. Here comes this teenage kid around. I said, well, the bus forgot me. So I rode my bike. Amen. And here I was. I got upset about someone coming to church on a bike. And I was like, really? Yeah, I like church. Good. I said, how old are you? He said, 15. Amen. I like church. So I rode my bike. Amen. Took me all Sunday school hour, but I got here. I said, how are you getting home? He said, riding my bike. He said, I got to think about coming back tonight, riding my bike. Amen. Seriously, if your mom and dad didn't bring you, would you go, oh, well, you know, can't go. Not my fault. Or would you say, hey, I'll be back. I'm going to church. Can I go to church, Mom? Bug people. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Are you ready? Midweek service. Thursday night service at the Pacific Baptist Church is just as important as Sunday morning and Sunday night. Just as important. Just as important. Just as important. I have not missed a major church service at our church unless I've been sick. Just as important. Make up your mind. Make purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart that soul winning will always be a part of your life. Don't change your religious ritual. Young people, if it's good enough while you're a teenager, it's good enough when you get older. You make up your mind. I'm not missing soul winning. Don't get a job during that time. Don't you work during that time. You make sure you're at the house of God. Do you know how many adults wish they could be here every time the doors are open, but because they have to pay for you, they can't come? You purpose in your heart that I serve a big enough God, I'm not going to stop my ritual. Next, are you ready? The King James Bible. Now, it may seem like a small thing, but you listen to me. King James Bible. Don't you ever read from anything else other than the King James Bible. You got that? The other books take out the deity of the Son of God. The other books take out hell, and they fool. Once you start fooling with that Bible, you'll fool with your standards. So this sounds like a grown-up message. It's right there. That's for you. Don't you ever change that King James Bible. Don't you ever change it. Next, don't ever change your music. Hey, if you couldn't sing it in church, don't listen to it in private. We ought to take your cell phone. Do you have a cell phone? And we ought to, look, not now it doesn't. We ought to take your cell phone and plug it up to the church PA and play her as loud as we can. Man, I heard the porch groan on that one. We ought to take all the movies you have, plug them in. Let's have movie night down at the house of God, and let's show everything you watch. Don't change. Don't change. Don't change. Teenagers, listen to me and I'm done. I'm begging you that you won't make it to be an old person unless you purpose right in here. Purpose right in here. Make up your mind, man, that right in here, you are looking at a teenager that I'm not going to defile myself with the things of the world. And right in here, I am not going to put anything above God. I'm not going to trust me more than I trust God. And you're looking at a man that will always go to church. I'll keep serving the Lord the same way when I'm old that I do right now. If I had a nickel for every time I see a teenager, they look sharp, and then 2 years after that out of high school, they look terrible. Terrible. Let's not be that. Let's not be that. It's one reason I love coming here. Now all the old teenagers are running the place. That's scary. That's scary that Brother Joseph is helping run the place. That's scary. Then you see old Nick come out of the choir and come up to... I get nervous every time I see him come out of the choir. Every time I see him come out of the choir, go up to sing, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. I don't think he can do it. Want to know why? Because I still think of Nick as a little teenage kid. And when he steps up and sings, I'm like, whoa, look at Nick. Go, Nick. This is great. When I start, make up your mind that years from right now, you're still going to be serving the Lord, but you got a purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. Heavenly Father.